Good to see everybody this morning. Thank you for coming and being part of our worship service today. Teresa's keeping the nursery. Someone needs to take part of that. She's taking care of that for us today. Thank you so much for being here, and I'm excited about what God's going to do for us today. Thank God for His presence here and for your faithfulness of being here today. I want to talk about shoes today. I got the ladies' attention anyway. It's amazing how God directs us in the words. You remember, I was thinking when God began to lead me in this direction, I began to think about when I was little, you know, how your mom and daddy would say, get your shoes on, we're going to go somewhere. And they always had that saying, get your shoes on, we're going to go somewhere. Well, I want to honor and give praise to God for His faithfulness today. God's a faithful God, even though we don't see how He operates, and He can use things even as small as a shoe to give direction. And I'm going to be teaching out of Ruth today, but to lead up to Ruth, I want to show you several scriptures that talk about shoes. Let's go to Exodus chapter 3. You remember, this is going to be one familiar to you. You remember when Moses was at the burning bush, and what did God tell him in verse 5? Chapter 3, verse 5. Now, when you think about shoes this morning, I want you to think about direction. I want you to think about God's faithful to guide us. We look at our life right now as we come through 2017. We don't realize the times and opportunities He had or His hand on us, guiding us. We went through a lot of different situations in 2017, and sometimes we questioned them, sometimes we didn't understand them, but God is still God, and He's guiding us. When God gets in your shoes, things change in your life, and He takes care of us. So Moses is here. You know, he's overwhelmed. He don't know what to do. And look at verse 5, chapter 3, verse 5. And he said, draw not nigh hither. Put on thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place where thou standest is holy ground. Now, God is so awesome. Everything in the Bible is critical. God uses things all through the Bible to teach us things. Now, go to Joshua. Remember Joshua chapter 5? Joshua chapter 5, verse 15. He's received the leadership responsibilities now to guide the people into battle. And look what he says here. Now, he told Moses, shoes, plural. But now he's changing course a little bit. Look what he said in verse 15. And the captain of the Lord's host said unto Joshua, loose thy shoe from off thy foot. Now, when you begin to study this, this was a symbol of ownership. It was a symbol of transition. It was a symbol of you're getting ready to possess something just by simply taking your shoe off. Isn't that awesome? He said, look at verse 15. He says, loose thy shoe from off thy foot, for the place whereon thou standest is holy. And Joshua did so. Now, let's go to Ruth. I'm going to kind of go a little fast forward here, but we're going to back up. Let's see. Ruth chapter 4. Make sure this is the one I want to read. Yeah. Ruth chapter 4. Now, kind of fast forward here a little bit. And I don't want to give away all the story yet, but those of you who studied the Bible already know where we're at. But it says here in verse 7, now, this is when Boaz was getting ready to transfer the land back to Ruth. Possession, transfer, transition. Amen? Look what he says here. Verse 7. Now, this was the manner in former time in Israel. He's referring all the way back now to Moses' time. Concerning redeeming and concerning changing. You see that? There's an anointing on this message today, and I pray that you receive what God has for you to say. But the things you've been through and the things you've gone through are only transitioning you to something greater that God's got for you. You receive that? Say amen. Amen. All right, he says, look here. He says, former time in Israel concerning redeeming and concerning changing, for to confirm all things, for to confirm all things, a man plucked off his shoe and gave it to his neighbor and was a testimony in Israel. Look at verse 8. Therefore the kinsman said unto Boaz, buy it for thee. So he drew off his shoe. Now I kind of went before. Now I'm going to back up a little bit and talk about what's going on in Ruth. But what I'm trying to say is, when God gets in your shoes, when God begins to drive you and take care of you as he always does, there's something going on. Let's go to Ruth chapter 1. Give a little history of what's going on here in Ruth. Ruth is a beautiful, beautiful story, a beautiful teaching of the faithfulness of God. How seemingly unpleasant circumstances change in the presence of an almighty God through something as simple as a shoe. She redeemed everything she lost because of a shoe. Little is much when God's in it. When you feel like he's not doing anything, I don't see nothing. What we're really saying is, I don't see any big things happening. A lot of times God don't always operate in the big things. Sometimes the still, small voice. Amen? And so Ruth here is a beautiful story of redemption. It's a beautiful story of God's faithfulness. And I know a lot of you are hurting right now. A lot of you have been through a lot in 2017 and still going through stuff. And there's a lot of hurt involved in that, just by being physical and just by being human. But God's working out a plan. So chapter 1, verses 1 and 2 said, now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled, there was a famine in the land. And a certain man of Bethlehem, Judea, went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. Now we know who they are. In verse 2 it says, his name was Elimelech, and the name of his wife was Naomi, and he had two sons named Mahlon and Shalom, Ephraimites of Bethlehem, Judea. And they came into the country of Moab and continued there. So let's break that down just a little bit. I don't know how far I'll get today, but I really believe God wants you to understand he's faithful to guide us. He's faithful to guide us. So Naomi, her name means pleasant. Elimelech means God is king. But there seems to be a little confusion there. They got two sons, and their sons' names meant sickly or withering. And Bethlehem means the house of bread. So let's put it all together. They're in Bethlehem, the house of bread, but there's a famine in the land. Now that don't really make sense, does it? The house of bread, there's a famine in the land. See, the grain that they used in the temple was grown and developed in Bethlehem. You remember Jesus said in John 6:41, I got a lot of scriptures, but I'm not going to take time to read them, but I'll reference them. John 6:41 said, Jesus is the bread that's come down from heaven. Matthew 4:4 said that man cannot live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. But Jerusalem was the house of bread. But there's a famine in Bethlehem. It don't make sense because this is the house of bread. But the people, get this, people do weird things when there's a famine. You got to understand, in America right now, there's a famine of the real word of God. That's why I appreciate the foundations of Northview, because we hold fast to the professions of our faith, which are founded on the word of God. Amen? I'm not ashamed that my church has not got 4,000 or 5,000 people. I'm not ashamed of that. I am proud of the fact that we stand on a solid rock. Amen? And I want you to be proud of that, because we have a heritage that is worth more than thousands of people. Does that make sense? Because I'm not going to sell out what we got to gain people. Just to put it in perspective. Anyway. But there's a famine in the land. The people do weird stuff in times of famine. In the book of 2 Kings, chapter 6, verse 25, it said that in the time of famine that people were eating dove's dung. Weird stuff. It said that the donkey heads, they were selling and eating donkey heads. So people do weird things. Now, dove's dung and donkey heads, I pretty much lost all your appetites. So that means I can preach longer because you're not ready for lunch. But they just do weird things. Paul references a little bit to devouring because what it means is during famine, there's a temptation of devouring. Paul referenced that sometimes when he rebuked the people about not devouring one another, because in times of famine, in times when the word is not relevant, you have a tendency to lean to the flesh. But Ruth and her family are in famine. So, the book of Ruth begins with a journey. It begins with a journey of Ruth and her family are leaving because of the famine, and they're going to Moab. Now, what does that mean? They're leaving the house of bread, and they're going to the land of cursed. Think about it just a minute. They left the land of blessing to go into the land of difficulty. First of all, God's faithfulness, number one, is you don't always understand what God is doing. And when you don't understand, you stand. You be still. Amen? Turn to the one beside you and say, be still. Be still. You be still and know that He is God. Because in times of famine, when the word is not flowing, the mind takes over and does some crazy, crazy stuff. But you remember in Deuteronomy chapter 23, verse 3, the Moabites were cursed in their 10th generation. So they left the land of blessing and they're going to the land of cursing. Now be careful. Be careful. I want you to get this. Always when you don't see a lot going on, as far as God's concerned, it doesn't mean He's still not God. Amen. You don't accept the fact that I'm in a famine. I'm in a famine. No, the Word is breath of life. The Word is your bread. The Word is your strength. And though you don't see a lot going on, nor for you, though you don't see a lot happening, God is at work. Amen. And there's a tendency to do what you think. Or there's a tendency to run with the crowd. And I thank God for the ones of you that are faithful to stand. When everybody else goes and comes, you stand. And I'm going to tell you something. God's going to bless you beyond words for that. Amen. I appreciate your faithfulness today. So, they get up, and I wonder why they thought, this is just how I think, I wonder why they thought things were going to be better. Number one, God is faithful even when you can't see it. And number two, God is working a plan when you can't understand it. Does that make sense? All right? So while they're in Moab, here's where Ruth comes in. Their sons get married. One marries Ruth and the other marries one by the name of Orpah. And so they're in there, but here's what happens there. Now their sons die. You remember their name was Sickly, but they die. So now it's just Naomi and Ruth and Orpah. So if you read on down in verse 6, you see where about after 10 years that Naomi hears that there's bread back in Bethlehem, and so she wants to go back home. Verses 7 through 13. So she turns to her daughters and she says, I'm going to go home. You don't have any obligation to me anymore. My sons are gone. I'm not going to be able to give you any more sons. So you're free to go. Get this right here. This is the turning point for Ruth. Ruth understood that there's no future in Moab. Let me tell you this about the faithfulness of God. There's no future when you take your life in your own hands and do what you think you need to do. There's no future. Does that make sense? Does that make sense? Because how many of us have done, I've done that, you've done that, we've all done that. Well, I can't figure it out, so I'm going to make my own plan. When you've done all to stand, just stand and be still. Now, that's a hard part for us because we feel like you got to be moving, because we feel like movement is success. But Moab was not success for Ruth. How many of us have got testimonies to say, well, we took God in our own hands, we did our own thing, and we did what we wanted to do? No success in that. So as we look forward to 2018, I want you to understand it's only God who builds the house. Amen? All right. Now, so Ruth's sitting here talking to her. This is something else that's awesome. Ruth understands there's no future in Moab. So she tells her daughter-in-laws, go back home to where you came from. Orpah is comfortable in Moab. So you know what she did? In verses 14, she just gives her a kiss. Ruth chapter 1, verse 14 and 17, she kisses Naomi and she says, fine, I'm going to just stay here. But look what Ruth did. In verses 14 through 17, Ruth clave to Naomi. And you've heard her saying a lot of times, you've been to some weddings, you've heard the saying that what Ruth told her, where you go, I'm going to go. I'm going, you know, your God's going to be my God. Wherever you are, that's where I'm going to be. And so God began to show me in the Word, there's two types of people in the church world today. There's kissers and there's cleavers. Kissers are sort of daters. You've seen those people just kind of date. They're not looking to settle down. They just kind of date. Just kind of flow in and out. But then there's the romancers. The romancers are the ones that's willing to take the good with the bad and just work their way through it. And that's what Ruth was saying to Naomi. Now, so, are you with me so far? I'm laying a foundation. I got about another hour and then we'll be done. Ruth and Naomi cross back Jordan to go back to Bethlehem, verses 14 through 17. Now here's something I found interesting. Orpah was the mother of giants. In the Hebrew Bible it says she was the mother of giants. And in Numbers 13 and 33, Orpah found Anak, who was the daddy of the giants. Stay with me now. Orpah was the mother of Goliath. You see the difference? You see the difference? Orpah was the mother of Goliath, and David was the lineage of who? Ruth. So you see the separation? So when David and Goliath fought, the lineages of Ruth and Orpah were fighting. Is that awesome or what? I tell you, God's, this word is so deep, we'll never understand it all. But anyway, Ruth gets back to Bethlehem. And when she gets back to Bethlehem, her property's lost. Because they had a rule, after 70 years, you lose your property. So what did Ruth need? She needed a kinsman redeemer to buy it back. God is faithful to give us back that we thought we had lost. Amen. So Ruth now comes back into Jerusalem, or in Bethlehem, and she is a stranger from Moab. Look at chapter 2 and verse 2. And Ruth the Moabitess said to Naomi, let me now go to the field and glean the ears of the corn after him in whose sight I shall find grace. Beautiful story. When we get lost, let me have just a little bit of water right here. Break. When we have just a little bit of feeling like we've been withered away or drifted away, God's faithful to bring us back. God's faithful to bring us back. I feel His anointing in this place today. So Ruth, let me hurry this story up. She's in the field. She's gleaning in the field. Gleaning means the four corners of the field are left for the poor and the needy. Back in those days of harvest, the gleaners would be in the four corners of the field and they would leave for the poor and the needy. So she comes into this picture being poor and needy. God is a God of faithfulness. Even when we make wrong decisions and bad decisions, He will draw us back in because He loves us. How many of you know when you make decisions of the flesh and you make decisions of yourself and you do your own thing, it always causes lack. It always causes you to lose something. When you go out on your own, you lose something. When you drift away from God, you lose something. When you do things your way, you lose something. We live in a world now where men and women walk around without the presence of God, and they're just like Samson. They don't really need it anymore because they know how to do it. But I want you to understand this fact. We need His anointing and His presence more today than we've ever needed it before. Amen. Naomi, she went to that land of cursing. She's come back now to the land of blessing. Naomi, Ruth says, I'm going to stay with you. So she's in the field and she's gleaming. She comes in as poor and needy. Let me tell you this. I feel led to say this. When you listen to the voice of yourself and you listen to the voice of the enemy, you're going to end up needy. Now here's the problem with America today. Nobody feels like they need anything. Amen? You preaching sermons, you preach your heart out, and they look at you. Half of them's got their mind over here, half of them's got their mind over there, because you want to know why? We don't need nothing. But I'm going to tell you something. The very breath you breathe came from God. Everything you have came from God. When you go home and put your key in your door and you walk in a house, guess who gave that to you? When you walk out here and get in a car and drive off, guess who gave that to you? Everything we have. He that hath breath, praise ye the Lord. Amen? Amen. God, you ought to be thankful that I'm even here today. I could be watching something on TV, Lord. You ought to be really thankful that no, we need to be thankful that we got the breath to be here today. Amen. Church has become some kind of Super Bowl every Sunday. See what you can do. See what the halftime is. See what you can do to get me stirred up and to get me. I want to tell you, we need to fall back in love with His Word. Amen? Amen. So here's what's happening. She's gleaming. And I want to just hurry this story on. Why is she there anyhow? The faithfulness of God. Thank you, Lord, for your presence. Ruth catches the eye of Boaz. And God tells, through His Word, tells us that He says, guys, when you're getting in the harvest, leave handfuls on purpose for her and her family. Isn't that the faithfulness of God? Isn't that the faithfulness of God? When God gets in your shoes, He will cause men to have favor with you like you've never known before. You want to know why you're successful? You want to know why you've got something today? Because God gave you favor with somebody. Amen? Amen. Am I preaching the truth today? Amen. Three of you thinks I am. Amen. Amen. There's a presence of God in this place today. So, let me try to finish it up. So there's a threshing floor. How many knows what a threshing floor was? The threshing floor was where they would take that wheat, they would take the grains, and they'd crash them, crush them. And at night, they say the wind blows pretty strong in that region, that they would come and blow the chaff off. Sometimes we feel like we've been put on a threshing floor. And we're being crushed and we're getting beat and we're getting beat down. But the wind of the Holy Spirit comes by and He blows all that chaff away and the richness of the grain is left. And that's what happened to Ruth and Naomi. I want to tell you, God had a plan. Boaz, see, but she had to get her land back. You remember that part? Naomi had lost her land. And the only way you could get your land back, this is good, was a kinsman redeemer. We were lost one day. We were lost and bound for hell. But Jesus said, I'll be that kinsman redeemer. I'll be the one to go to the cross. And He went to the cross and He died for you and me so that He would buy our land back. And so the last part I read to you about this story was, they were sitting there making the deal, and the guy said, you got to give me your shoe. If you give me your shoe, that'll be a sign of the contract, and I'll give you her land back. She got her land back because Boaz took his shoe off and gave it. Isn't that awesome? One little shoe bought her land back. One little thing in your life, God is looking for faithfulness. God is looking for people who will acknowledge that He is our kinsman redeemer. He's the one who's bought us back. I want to tell you, in 2018, comfortable Christianity is not going to accomplish anything. There's no such thing as comfortable Christianity. But there is self-sacrificing to the point that God, not my will be done, but your will be done. And Naomi and Ruth, and you know the story, how Ruth went from poverty to nothing to rulership, ownership. God is coming soon. He's coming to America soon to gather His church away. And what we need in 2018, in Northview and all over the world, we need faithfulness. We need faithfulness. And I'm asking you to stand to your feet. How many of you are willing to give a shoe this morning? How many of you are willing to give a shoe so that you can buy back what belongs to you? Just simply saying, Lord, whatever it takes, that's what I'm going to give to you. I appreciate what Brother George did this morning because that just confirmed in my heart what the Lord has been dealing with me about this altar. I want us to end up this service today in this altar. I just want you to come just because everybody else is coming, but I really want you to come for the fact that, Lord, whatever I need to do, however I need to be faithful to you, that's what I want to do. I want to be faithful, God. Show me what I can do in Northview. Show me where I can be effective. Show me how to do what I need to do. And here's what I'm going to say to you. As you step out, and as you come forward, that's a symbol of you taking your shoe off and giving it to God. Would you come right now, everybody that will. Everybody that will, would you come this morning? And we're going to have a closing prayer. We're going to have a closing prayer. Lord, I give you my shoe this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to be here today in Northview. God, we hear your voice. Lord, we see this beautiful story of redemption. We see this beautiful story of faithfulness. How, God, you brought them from a land of not blessing to a land of blessing. a land of cursing to a land of blessing. Now, Lord, every one of us, over our period of time in our life, have let our guard down, and we've let ourselves roam, and we've not always been obedient to you like we should be. But God, this last day of the year, as we face a brand new year, we come to you, Lord, to lay our heart on this altar and to give you our shoe. Lord, we take our shoe off spiritually and we give you our shoe, Lord, as a sign of a contract that, Lord, I want to be faithful to you. I want to receive, God, everything you have for me. And God, during this time, I want you to give me wisdom. I want to be faithful, God, to pray. I want to be faithful, God, to stand. I want to be faithful, God, to be obedient to you, Lord. God, we give Northview into your hands today. Show us what we can do. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless everyone.